Well, our new series is Built to Last. And how many of you were here for any of the series in January on Spark? Come on, if you were here for Spark, wave at me. Okay, you know, we got our Spark in January, but here's what I want to tell you today. I don't want to fizzle out in February. I don't want to fall out by the time I get to September. You see, I got a spark for the beginning of the year, but now I need to know, what does it mean to be built to last? Because I want to live a life that makes it through all the change and challenges. I want to live a life that makes it through all the trials and all the transitions. I want to live a life that I can make it through whatever life brings to me. You see, that is a life that is built to last. And what you need to know this morning is that a built to last life is determined by what you are built on. That's the key to living a built-to-last life, is what is your life built on? And Jesus talks about this in Luke chapter 6. And we're going to look at this portion of Scripture starting in verse 47. Jesus says this. He says, I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. You see, today I don't want to talk to you just about your foundation. Today I want to talk to you about your found actions. Your found actions. Do you see what I did there? Ah, ha, ha. This side of the audience right here. I'm just going to preach over here because you laughed at my joke. I've been waiting all week for that joke right there. I couldn't even tell my staff I was laughing so hard. I have just waited for the moment to say, you see what I did there. Some of you still don't get it, but you'll get it on the way home. Your wife will explain it to you, men. A few weeks ago, Carolina Lee, who is my four-year-old daughter, we were playing with some Legos that she had gotten for Christmas, and we built the most amazing princess tower that you have ever seen in your life. I mean, the real architects would have stood in awe of what we were able to create with these simple Legos. I mean, it really deserved to be on the cover of a magazine. It deserved a full web page spread. I mean, this was the princess tower of all princess towers. I mean, there was a protective wall around the castle. There was a moat there to keep all of the bad people away. There was even space for the princess's animals to run and to play. And there was a 360-degree balcony that went around the princess's bedroom that was at the very top of the tower. And as me and Carolina Lee were sitting on the floor just admiring the masterpiece that was before us, my two-year-old daughter Julietta walked in the room. And as we like to call Julietta, Juju, Juju walked in as me and Carolina were discussing the masterpiece, but she wasn't worried about the discussion. She was only worried about the destruction. She had one thing on her mind, and that was destroying what we had just spent all of that time building. And she walked right over to that tower, and with one swing of her right hand, the princess tower went collapsing down to the ground. And then there was silence as Carolina was staring at Julietta. And then Carolina Lee looked at me, and her look said it all. Daddy, are you really going to let her stay in this family? And then I had to explain to her that the princess tower was not built to last. They were Legos that had to be torn down and put back into a box. But your life should not be like those Legos. Your life should be a life that is built to last. Your faith should last longer than the Princess Tower. Your courage should last longer than those Legos stayed in our living room. You need a joy and a peace and a marriage that lasts through it all. And if you want a life that lasts through the storms and the difficult seasons, if you want a life that lasts through adversity and opposition, through everything that life brings, you have to live a life that is built to last, and Jesus tells us how to make that possible. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus did want to make one thing very clear, because as he was telling this story, he did not say, if the floodwaters rise. He didn't say, if you happen to find yourself in a storm. He said, when the floodwaters rise in your life. When you find yourself, Jesus many times is making this point throughout the Gospels. This is the way Jesus said it in John 16, 33. He said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. But in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Jesus wanted to make it very clear to you and I that just because we believe in him, just because we have committed our life to him, that doesn't mean that your life is going to be free from adversity. That doesn't mean that you get excused from the storm. No, no, no. Jesus said, you will have troubles. You will experience trials. You will go through temptation. You will experience transition in your life. But here's what you need to know. It's not unavoidable, but it doesn't have to destroy you. You see, today, whether you conquer or collapse will be determined by your foundation. Today in your life, whether you rise or whether you're ruined will be determined by your foundation. You see, I've got some good news for you this morning. And the good news is this. Your future is not decided by the size of your storm, but by the firmness of your foundation. Hear what I'm saying to you this morning. Your future, it is not determined by the size of your storm, but by the firmness of your foundation. It doesn't matter how bad the news is that you got last week. It doesn't matter what you might be facing. It doesn't matter the challenge that lies before you. Your life will not be decided by the size of the storm, by the size of your opposition. It will not be decided by that. Instead, the future of your life will simply be decided by the foundation of your life. I was talking to a young man this week, and he said, and he came to me, he's just sharing about what he had gone through this week. And I'm telling you, he had really been through the ringer, man. He had faced some real challenges. And with tears in his eyes, he said, Pastor, I have to tell you that if I would have gone through this 2 years ago, he said, I would have turned my back on God and I would probably be high right now, but this time it's completely different. And so I said, well, tell me this. Is the trial any different? No, it's the exact same. Is the drama or the trauma any different? No, it's exactly the same. Is the storm any bigger than this time than it was 2 years ago? No, it's exactly the same. So I said, what is the only thing that changed? What changed was the foundation that you're standing on. Because the last 2 years you've been digging deep and you've been building your life on Christ. And today the winds are blowing, but it's not knocking you over this time. This is what Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 10. Solomon, the wisest man, said this. He said, when the storms of life come, he's just saying the same thing that Jesus. He didn't say, if the storms of life come. He didn't say, maybe 50-50 chance that you're going to experience. No, he says, when the storms of life come, the wicked are whirled away, but the godly have a lasting foundation. Now, when you read that word wicked, You might be thinking about devil worshipers. That's not what wicked is. Wicked is simply people who want to do life their way. It's people that put their way above God's way. That's what makes you wicked. And so what Solomon's saying here, if you want to do life your way and you want to build on your own foundation, on your own strengths, on your own experiences, on your own philosophies, and you want to build on your own opinions, then whenever the storm comes, you can be sure of one thing. You will be swept away by that storm. He says, but the godly, what does the godly mean? That's just people that are doing life God's way. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean that you don't make mistakes, but you have determined, I will live my life God's way. I will live my life on His principles. And when you make that decision, you find that there is a strength that you didn't have before. There is a stability that you did not have before. There is a peace that passes all understanding. There is a peace that will keep you even in the worst storm that you have ever gone through. Why? Because you have decided, I'm going to do life God's way, and it puts you on a firm foundation that no storm can knock you out of, no flood can destroy you, because you're standing on the firm foundation. Jesus, in Luke chapter 6, as we just read, I want to read it to you right now out of the Message translation. If you're not familiar with the Message translation, there's a man by the name of Eugene Peterson that basically has taken the Bible and he's kind of wrote just a paraphrase of the Bible. And he's a brilliant writer and a great thinker. And sometimes he can just expand our eyes to see more and to understand a little bit more than maybe we saw before. And I love the way that he says this in Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 47. Once again, Jesus is speaking and he says, these words I speak to you are not mere additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundation. Everybody say foundation. They are foundation words. Words to build a life on. You see, Jesus doesn't come in to improve your life. Jesus comes to renew your life. So when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he didn't say, hey, let me help you. He said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. You don't need some improvements. You need a complete overhaul. You need to die to yourself so that I can resurrect you in the spirit, so that you can live a new life of victory and joy and peace that I really created you for. You see, Jesus isn't something that you just add on to your life. Jesus is something that you build on. Build on his foundation. He goes on and he says this. He says, if you work, everybody say work. If you work the words into your life, that requires action. If you work the words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who dug deep and laid the foundation of his house on bedrock. When the river burst its banks and crashed against the house, nothing, everybody say nothing, nothing could shake it. Because it was what? Oh, wow, that's unbelievable right there. I can't believe it. The series title is in the, that's unbelievable. And nothing could shake it. Why? Because it's built to last. But if you just use my words in your Bible studies and you don't work them into your life, you are like a dumb carpenter. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, don't be a dumb carpenter. Don't do it. Don't do it. You'll be like a dumb carpenter who built a house but skipped the foundation. When the swollen river came crashing in, it collapsed like a house of cards. It was a total loss. Hear me clearly this morning. If you don't work on the foundation, it's only a matter of time. If you don't work on the foundation, it's only a matter of time till you experience loss, collapse, and complete devastation. And so I just have one question for you this morning. Do you want to be built to last or built to lose? Do you want to be built to last or built to lose? Because you're building for one or the other. There is no third choice today. You are either building a life that is built to last or you are building a life that is built to lose. And it all comes down to how hard are you willing to work on the foundation? Are you willing to be everything and to do everything God's way and to begin to work his word and to work his way and to work his opinion and to work his power and to work his grace and to work his mercy and work his love and work all of these things into your life? Are you willing to work on the foundation? And you see, that's why I said today we're not just talking about a foundation, we're talking about a found action. Because it's going to take action on the foundation to give you the life that is built to last. I just want to give you three found actions that every one of us need to take. Three actions that we need to put into the foundation of our life. And they're all found right there in Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 47. Jesus says, I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. Jesus says, I'm going to show you what it's like. I'm going to give you an illustration. For somebody, if you just come to me, listen to what I say, and then you put it into practice, I'm going to show you what it's like. And I mean, I can see the crowd going, yeah, please tell us, show us. I want to see this. So I come to you, I listen to what you say, I put it into practice. What is that like? And then Jesus goes on and he says this. He said, it's like the person building a house who digs deep. Everybody say, dig deep. It's a person who's building a house, they dig deep and they lay the foundation on solid rock. That's what happens. For the person that comes to me, listens to me, and then begins to do what I say. So here's the first found action that we need. The first found action is found in approach. In approach. Jesus says, when someone comes to me, never underestimate the importance of the approach. Never underestimate the importance of the approach. I don't know if you are a golfer. Maybe you've played golf. Maybe you've watched golf. Or maybe you hate golf. You're in one of those categories today. And the golfer, the most important thing to the golfer shooting a low score and doing what he really wants to do when he dreamed about going out there to play, it's all in the approach. And it makes sense to you because it's a whole lot easier for you to make a putt from 3 feet than it is 30 feet. Or to get that little white ball to go in the hole, whole lot easier the closer you get. Well, that's found in your approach. So if a golfer wants to do what he really wants to do and shoot a good score, I go out there and I play golf, I want a birdie. I know when I'm standing out there 150 yards away from the hole, I know that the reality of me getting what I want, it's found in my approach. If I can hit the ball with inside of 10 feet of that hole, then I've got a better chance of getting what I want. It's found in the approach. How about this? And when we talk about never underestimating the power of the approach, how about the approach in an airplane? The landing. You think the approach isn't important? You just come on down on that plane and let those wings do one of these numbers right here when you're about to land. I mean, you have everybody crying out to God. People that haven't been to church since they were 3 years old, they're screaming out to God. And so I started doing a little research, and I started thinking. I just typed in Google the importance of the landing, the importance of the pilot's approach. And I just started going down there, and then I found something that I didn't even know existed. It came up, and it started talking about a missed approach. A missed approach. And I talked to the first service about this, and I gave them all kinds of disclaimers, and I said, I'm an amateur. I am not an aviator. I know we have military people here. Please don't hold what I'm about to say against you. But I had somebody who flies on the airplane come to me right after service, and they said, Pastor, you were exactly right. So I'm standing with confidence right now. I'm telling you, I am an amateur no more. But there's something called a missed approach. And there is a point as the pilot is bringing the plane down for whatever reason. If he can't see the runway, if his instruments are just a little bit off, if he does not feel good about what is about to happen, then he declares a missed approach and he goes back into the air and he begins to circle around the airport again. And let me just tell you, I believe that that's where many of us live our lives, in a holding pattern. Because we miss our approach to God. And we miss it for a lot of reasons. Because we feel guilt. We feel condemnation. Because we feel shame about something we said last week or a place that we went a few weeks ago. Maybe we're just discouraged, or maybe we're a little disillusioned, or maybe we're disappointed. And so we miss our approach to God. Maybe the enemy has been lying to you about who you really are and that God doesn't really have a plan for your life and there's no way that God could love anybody like you. And so every single day we are headed towards an approach, but we miss our approach and we find ourselves circling around what God created you to land in. You missed the approach day after day. I want to help somebody this morning, and I want to sound the alarm, and I want to give you an alert this morning, and I want you to know this. Jesus wants you to come to him. Jesus wants you to approach him. So if there's ever anything in you that feels like I don't need to approach God today, for whatever reason it might be, you need to know that is not God. That is the enemy of your soul, because God is saying, come on down for the approach. Come on in and land. Come on in. Approach me today. And if you feel like I can't approach God, it's not God. Don't let the enemy cause you to miss your approach. Let me just give you a few examples because I had to pick. There are so many of Jesus when he is inviting us, saying, come to me. John chapter 5, verse 39. Jesus is speaking here to the Pharisees. These are the religious leaders of the day. And he says, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. But the scriptures point to me. Yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life. He said, you're looking for this over there, but what you're looking for is right here. You're looking for satisfaction and fulfillment over there, but satisfaction and fulfillment is right here. You're looking for real life over there, but real life is standing right here. And if you would just come to me, if you would just approach me, I would give you everything that you are looking for today. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 11. The Message translation, he says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And we read that and we say, man, I want rest. Yes, I want to live free. I want to live lightly. Well, then you can't underestimate the power of the approach, because getting what Jesus said you could have is dependent on the very first thing that Jesus said you had to do, and that is come to me. Can't underestimate the power of the approach. In John chapter 7, it says, on the last day of the festival, Jesus stood and he shouted to the crowds, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Jesus said, you're thirsty and you're parched and you're looking for purpose and you're looking for an identity, and life has just seemed to just dehydrate you, and you haven't found what you're really looking for. Jesus says, come to me. If you're hungry, come to me. If you're thirsty, come to me. I will be everything that you are looking for, but you have to come to me. Matthew 19, Jesus said, let the little children, what? Okay, good. 8 people in here are paying attention. But Jesus said, let the children what? Come to me. Let the little children come to me. And he goes on to say, hey, heaven is going to be made up of people just like this. That's good news for you and me, because it means you don't have to be a theological scholar. It means that you don't have to have everything figured out. It means that you don't have to have your life in perfect order. You can be just like a child and just know, I believe what you're saying, and I'm coming to you right now, and I don't have all the answers, but I believe you are the answer. I don't have everything figured out, but I believe you can help me figure it all out, and I'll come to you as a child. Never underestimate the power of the approach. And this next story in the Bible, I don't know if this man got word of Jesus' teaching that says, hey, come to me, you're thirsty. Come to me when you're burdened. Come to me when you're overwhelmed. I don't know if somebody heard Jesus talk and went and had a conversation with this man. But in Matthew chapter 8, we see somebody coming to Jesus. Matthew 8, it says, suddenly, a man with leprosy approached. Everybody say approached. A man with leprosy approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, the man said, if you are willing, you can heal me and you can make me clean. Jesus reached out and he touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. You see, the man with leprosy broke all kinds of traditional laws and cultural etiquette in order to approach Jesus. And if Jesus didn't turn him away, then Jesus isn't going to turn you away. But Jesus today is saying, come to me. Come to me if you're broken, come to me. If you're frustrated, come to me. If you're hurting, come to me. If you're discouraged, disillusioned, angry, weary, sinful, or worried, it doesn't matter if sickness is in your body, sickness is in your head, or sickness is in your soul. It doesn't matter to Jesus. He's saying, just come to me just the way you are. Never underestimate the power of the approach. Found actions, the action of the approach. And you need to approach Jesus every day. You need to approach Jesus every single day. Don't let the enemy talk you out of your approach. Don't get stuck in a holding pattern, circling around. No, there is no missed approach for you, because Jesus came and gave you a clear path to approach God. And he said, you can come boldly before the throne of the Father, because the blood that was shed at Calvary cleanses you of every sin. And you can come with confidence before God. You just need to come and approach him. Approach Jesus every day. I was talking with somebody this week. And they said, yeah, I'm a front porch prayer. I said, okay, you know, first time for everything, right? A front porch prayer. I said, well, what kind of prayers does a front porch prayer pray? I mean, I'm just trying to get some information. And he said, this is what I do every morning when I walk out of my house. He said, I have a chair on my porch. And he said, I sit down in my chair. And I begin to pray for my family, and I pray for our house, and I pray for my day, and I pray for the students that I'm going to teach, and I pray, and I pray, and that's where I pray. Let me tell you, he has determined the place that he is going to pray and the time that he is going to pray, because he said, I'm going to approach God every single day. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. It doesn't matter if I got into an argument with my spouse. It doesn't matter if I'm having some problems with my boss. It doesn't matter, because I'm a front porch prayer, and every morning I leave my house, I'm going to approach God for that day. Maybe you're not a front porch prayer. Maybe you're a car prayer. Maybe you get in your car and you're going to drive to work, and maybe it's time for you to turn off the radio and to say, God, this is my time to approach you. God, I'm going to approach you as I drive to work today, 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, whatever that is. And you just approach God, and you just come to him just the way you are, with all of your fears, with all of your trouble, with all of your trials, with all of your hurts. And you just approach him the way that the man with leprosy did and say, God, I believe that you can help me. I don't know how you're going to help me, but I believe that you can help me. And you'll be amazed what happens if you don't underestimate the power of the approach. Here's number two. The second found action that we need in our life is to agree. Agree. Jesus said, I'm going to show you what it's like when someone comes to me, that's your approach, and then listens to my teaching. He's not talking about here, you just hear what I say. He's talking about instead someone that listens with intent, that listens with focus, and that listens with agreement. See, this morning, you can't just approach God. You actually have to agree with God. Your approach is meaningless if you don't get into agreement with what he says about you. That's why you have to read your Bible, because you need to know, what does God say about me? You don't read your Bible so you can check the box and say, wow, I'm a good Christian, pat myself on the back. I'm just going to feel good about myself today because I read my Bible, had my personal devotion this morning. No, you read your Bible because there's a storm coming, there's a situation coming, there is a fire coming, there is trouble coming, and you read your Bible and you build that foundation so that whenever the floodwaters begin to rise in your life, you say, this is what I prepared for. This is what I read for. Blow as hard as you want to. Wind. Rain as hard as you want to rain, because I am built on a foundation that will last. Somebody needs to say amen to that. You see, that's why we started the service with declarations. Because declarations, what are you doing? You're declaring the word of God over your life. And I want to encourage you to get these declarations and say them every day. We're gonna send them out to you. If you have subscribed to our email, then you're going to get those emailed to you tomorrow morning. It will be in your inbox. You can wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and you can say these declarations when we email them to you. You can find them on our social media. We'll be posting those later tonight so that you can get these declarations and you can begin to say them over your life. Because what we declared at the beginning of the service, as we put our hand over our heart, we just declared the word of God. We said, I am a child of God. You see, if you have believed on the Lord Jesus, you are a child of God. You say, I don't feel like a child. Well, that's why you need to get into agreement with the word, because you're a child, whether you feel like it or not. It says, I am loved, adored, and accepted. You see, you are loved by God. You say, well, I don't feel very love worthy today. It doesn't matter. You're not the one that gets to determine whether God loves you or not. God's the one that determined that. And he said, I do love you. You don't get to determine if you're accepted. He says, I have adopted you and you have a seat at my table. You have to declare the truth. Get into agreement with that. That's why we declared, I am forgiven and free. Because forgiveness isn't up to you. Forgiveness was up to the blood. And the blood is powerful. Jesus is all powerful, and he's the one that has cleansed you of your sin. And you know what? You say, I don't feel free. I feel actually like I'm in bondage today. Well, let me tell you what. You can break the chains of that bondage, because the word of God says, whoever the Son set free is free indeed. And you can live in freedom. Declare that over your life. You can declare that sin has no hold on me. That's what the word of God says. Word of God says that sin does not control you anymore, because there is a power that's working in you that has the power to break the back off of sin in your life. That's why we make the declarations that say, I am an overcomer. You feel like you're down under, but the Bible says that you are an overcomer by your faith. The Bible says that you are more than a conqueror. You might feel like you're being conquered. That's why you got to get into agreement. You've got to hear what the Bible says about you. And the Bible says that you are more than a conqueror. And if the Bible says you're more than a conqueror, you need to start believing you're more than a conqueror. And the thing that has conquered you, you better look it in the eye and say, those days are over, because I am more than a conqueror and I'm coming for you. So I'm full of the Spirit of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You need to say that over your life every single day this week. This is what Proverbs chapter 1, starting in verse 30, says. Solomon here is speaking of wisdom, but we can connect it to God. He says, they have rejected my advice, and they've paid no attention when I corrected them. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own schemes. For simpletons turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their own complacency. But all, everybody say all. But all who listen to me. But all who listen to me. All who get in alignment with my word. All who get in agreement with me will live in peace. And they will be untroubled by the fear of harm. You see, you don't have to stress over your storm today. You don't have to be worried about the floodwaters in your life. You don't have to be troubled by your trial, because you have a peace that surpasses your problem. You have a God who can supply you with all the peace that you need, all the strength that you need, all the stability you need to make it through whatever you are going through in your life. If you listen to me, if you get into agreement with my word. I love it in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. This is what the word of God says. And we know that God causes everything. Somebody say everything. Everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. You see, not everything that happens in life is good, but God is good. Not everything that happens in life is good, but God is good. Therefore, he has the power and the ability to turn it all around for my good. See, it doesn't matter what you may be going through. It doesn't matter what you have walked through in your past. It doesn't matter what your story is. God has the ability to turn it all around so that it works for your good. You see, you can't have a firm foundation without the foundation of agreement. You've got to begin to get into agreement with what God says about you. You've got to read your Bible so that you can know how God really feels about you. You've got to get into the Word so that you know what you're really standing on. You have got to read your Bible and build that foundation, because your future is determined by the firmness of your foundation and the agreement that you get into with the Word of God. Here's number three. Let's wrap this up. Number three, the third found action is apply. Apply. Jesus said, I'll show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. Now we are getting down to the nitty-gritty. This is where the rubber meets the road, if you would. Although it is essential to approach and agree, most people find it easier to approach and agree than it is to apply. And this is true across the board. This doesn't just come to your spiritual life. This isn't just about the words of Jesus. Let me just give you a few examples. You're trying to get your finances in order for 2016. And so you go to the store and you find Mr. Dave Ramsey sitting there, full DVD set. And you're trying to find the Ramsey Financial Plan. And you take the Ramsey Financial Plan. You've already had the approach. You've already approached Mr. Ramsey. And you took him up to the front and you purchased him. And you took him on and you put the DVDs on your television. And as Mr. Ramsey's talking to you, saying, "Woo, that's good, Dave. Woo, Dave, come on, man. Okay, I like that. That makes sense to me. Okay, I like that." But here's the question. It's not whether you approach Dave. It's not if you get in agreement with Dave. It's can you say no to the $8 latte at Starbucks the next morning? Can you apply what he's saying? You go to the sales seminar because you're looking for 2016 to be the best year you've ever had. And so you go to the seminar and you drive your way all over there. You pay your fee. You have approached the right information. You sit there and you just take a whole notebook. I mean, you just filling notes and you circling stuff and you're just so excited. Everything that you're reading, oh, yeah, I see that. That's going to work. Ooh, it's going to be my best year ever. I mean, you're putting like 8 exclamation points at the end. I mean, you are so excited about what you're learning for the weekend, and then you walk into the office Monday morning and the question comes, are you going to make 60 calls that day? Are you going to apply what you learn? Because it was real exciting on Saturday when they said if you make 60 calls, you'll get 6 sales. And if you make 6 sales, you'll make this much money. Woo! I'm in agreement with that. And then you say, am I really going to make 60 calls? That's a lot of work. Going to apply what you learn. What about you want to take your leadership to the next level? And so you're looking through our game plan book. And you say, oh, look at this, the book of the quarter, John Maxwell. Oh, wow, John Maxwell 101, leadership lessons. I mean, John Maxwell is the leadership guru. And you take that book home and you start reading through. You get your highlighter out. You got your yellow one. You got your orange one. You got your green one. I mean, you're just highlighting everything, writing notes in the side. And you're like, man, I'm getting so much good information. Look, you've already approached John Maxwell. You pay $15 to take John Maxwell home with you. You have read the book to get into agreement with what he said, and you said, I like this stuff. This book is going to take me to the next level of life, but can the next day you do what he told you to do? This is where the rubber meets the road. This is the nitty-gritty. Jesus said this. He said, you got to approach me. Come to me. You got to listen to what I say, and you got to get into agreement with it, but then you better have some follow through. Then you better be able to apply what you hear me say. Jesus is letting us know you can't just approach and agree. You actually have to apply to get the foundation that you want for your life. You have to begin to dig deep in your life. Sure, approaching is essential. Sure, agreement is essential. But here's the challenge with applying. Listen to me. If you don't apply, you'll stop approaching. If you don't apply what he says, you'll stop approaching. Think about it. We got Dave Ramsey. We watched those DVDs, we got excited about it, but we didn't apply it. We might give Dave Ramsey a second chance. I need to listen to those DVDs again. We listen to those DVDs, we get in agreement with it again, and we don't apply it. Sooner or longer, Dave Ramsey's just going to sit on the shelf. John Maxwell's going to sit on the shelf. We're not going to go back to approach another sales seminar because we didn't apply. And because we didn't apply, it messed with our approach. You see, the application is so important Because whenever you start applying, no matter how small it might be, how seemingly insignificant you might feel, if you will just start applying something, start putting the found action of application into some level of your life, it will keep you approaching. It will keep you agreeing. And it will keep you applying. And it'll keep you approaching. And it'll keep you agreeing. And it'll keep you applying. And you'll keep approaching. And you'll keep agreeing. And you'll keep applying. And then before long, you have entered into a process. And you look back over your life and you say, it started so small, but look what has happened now in my life. I am standing on a firm foundation and my life is immovable. Next week, we're going to continue this journey. We're going to continue this journey dealing with application. We're going to look to see what does it mean to dig deep? What does that really mean? Do you know that God created you to live an extraordinary life? Come on, can I just have your attentions for just three more minutes? Do you know that God created you? Jesus said, I've come that you might live an abundant life. Jesus said, I created you to live in the overflow of everything that I have for you. That's why in this parable, Jesus says, you got to dig deep. You don't have to dig deep to build a little one-story shack. You don't have to, you could have had just a shallow little foundation. But Jesus said, I didn't create you to be a one-room shack. I didn't create you to live a life that's just focused on your four and no more. No, I created you to be a light on a hill that's shining into the darkness. No, I created you to be my mouthpiece of love and peace to all of those who are around you. No, I didn't create you just to live there. I created you for greatness. I created you to be extraordinary. I created you to do great works on the earth. And if you want to live a great life, then you got to dig deep. The deeper the foundation, the higher we can go. And so Jesus says, you got to dig deep. So we're going to continue. What does it mean to dig deep? And next week we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about the habits we need to build the life we want. The habits we need to build the life we want. Because there's a life that you see yourself living. There's a life that is immovable. There is a life that is unshakable. There is a life that is built so firmly on a foundation that you say, I can take whatever comes my way, whatever news comes my way, whatever disaster comes my way, whatever drama or trauma comes my way, I can take it all because I am standing on a firm foundation. That is the life that we all see. But how do we put the habits in our life that are going to give us the life that we all want? That's what we're going to be talking about next week. I want you to stand with me. I want you to look at me just for a moment before we pray. Here's what I want you to walk out of here with today. I want you walking out of here today realizing that the size of your storm is not going to decide your life. What you have been through in the past is not going to decide your life. The sin of yesterday is not going to decide your life. What is coming in the weeks and months ahead, it is not going to decide your life. The size of your storm will not decide your life. Instead, the firmness of your foundation is. You can dig deep. You can dig deep right now. And you can begin to build a life that is built to last through it all. Through it all. I want you just to bow your heads with me just for a moment.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were encouraged by the Word of God. If you would like more information on North Point Community Church, you can find us online at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com.